Before we begin, Sim and I want to acknowledge that we're recording today's podcast on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri Woi-wurrung people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We also want to acknowledge and pay respect to Kombumerri people on whose land we grew up together on, and we want to acknowledge and pay respects to First Peoples across this continent and extend our respect to their elders past and present.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Simran Pasricha.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And this is a podcast for burnt out divas.
Trying to stay.
Broadly relevant. We're so back and in person.
What's the biggest thing that happened in the past week, Simran?
Oh, I don't know. I just won a mid-year Walkley Award. Very exciting.
Say it again without the mid-year.
Oh, okay. I won a Walkley Award.
That's like the biggest journalism prize in Australia, right?
Look, it is. And I'm very, very excited and grateful for it.
Yeah, you can be very proud.
Thank you. What about you?
You won a Walkley.
Yeah, period. That was amazing. And I FaceTimed you straight away.
I'm so excited by it.
I feel very, very honored. And it was a highs and lows of high school football last week. So to end on that note was awesome. Yeah.
Broadly culture.
Lots happening in culture this week.
Do you want to start with your exclusive?
Okay, I will. Okay, let me run the tapes back, okay? So we're talking about the SZA Diplo AI of it all. So on this past weekend in local time, SZA, the artist who we love.
Unaffiliated with the tool used to open the USB that we needed to record today's podcast.
That was good. I like that.
Thank you.
So she basically called out the use of her catalog in AI training data sets. And she was calling out. So she went. What the hell? Sorry. One second. So basically she went on this database that was highlighted by The Atlantic, which allows users to search which artists may have been included in AI training databases. And so SZA looks it up, like looks herself up, and reportedly she is included in 238 songs and is training like 238 songs, which is a lot, you know. And this is, she kind of has called out Suno AI and also Udio AI. These names, crazy.
Why do they all have stupid names?
I don't know. So she writes on her Instagram, she was like, if you're a musician and you support this degenerate shit, you're disgusting and there's nothing you could ever say to me to make this okay. And she also said on her, private Instagram that she called out Diplo specifically about his involvement in these AI training databases. And so she said on her private Instagram, she said that Diplo has equity in Suno AI. She claimed this, allegedly.
That's tea.
And is actively attempting to train it on the best and brightest black minds of writers and producers. So this is all alleged that SZA put on her private Instagram. She went on to say, we make up 13% of the American population, yet influence the world with our sound and perspective. I ain't heard a white AI song yet. We have no protection in legislator, medical or creative. The easiest to steal from. Do not give away your vibranium. Do not train AI with your genius. So this all goes down on the weekend. Like, people pick it up yesterday. I wrote about it for Pedestrian TV. In part of that, you reach out to everyone that's, like, involved in the story.
Sure.
So I reached out to Diplo at Full Pedestrian TV, and they replied to us. And he replied to us. Sorry, don't know why.
Diplo.
He replied to us, responding to these claims. And Diplo was very adamant. He said, I'm definitely not an equity investor, and there are 100 apps that can do what Suno does. A young kid can even make their own app, AI music app with Claude. The villain isn't tech. Technology is just technology. He then goes on to say,
okay, but who's the villain?
I don't know. Great question. I'll finish and then we can get into it. But he said that last I checked, AI apps trained over 500 songs that he has made. And that sucks. But if one gets big, I'll claim my writing. Every artist will have that opportunity. What AI can't do is train on songs I am going to make. And we need to keep pushing it forward, not looking backwards. These AI models are remaking the same shit over and over. And I'm always trying to make something I haven't heard before. He then points to a potential upside of artists whose songs have been used by AI. Mm. And he uses the example of Stick Figure's Angels Above Us. So basically what happened on TikTok, I don't know if you saw this, but this, it's like they're a reggae band.
Yeah.
And one of their songs recently went viral. Right? Yes, I'm pretty sure they got right.
Or am I thinking of a different drama?
No, I think this is the same one.
Okay.
Anyways, it went really viral, this like unauthorized dance remix. And then after that, they ended up, but they said that they got a lot of like listeners and followers from that. And people found their band like through this AI remix. And then ultimately the band itself like did a remix with David Guetta. And then, like, popped off from there. Uh-huh. And so Diplo is saying the AI remix sucked, but it blew his song up and he got his vocal on it and his listeners went from a few thousand to millions in a week. He also claimed to have helped navigate this artist through all of that and said, if you're a creator, then you will get paid for being used on the LLM. And he's essentially saying that you should just be literate about it and proactive. These are all like claims of his. And then he says, directly sort of looks at the SZA situation and says, if SZA uses the apps without copyrighted protection, she will be completely freaked out. It's even higher quality and it's going to get impossible to decipher what's real and not. Suno and Uryo are old to the kids using AI. The next ones are scary. Which I found so interesting, that last part that he said, because like, I think he's admitting to the fact that it is scary, right? Mm. But again, going up to like the, you know, the tech isn't the villain, but like, who is the villain then?
Well, like I think in conversations around AI, there is a lot of nuance that is missing, mm-hmm. because like LLMs are useful for specific things. Like there was a study that I think Google did. So like, yeah, Google's biased.
Do you want to explain what an LLM is?
An LLM is a large language model, which is like ChatGPT and yeah. shit. And it's like the way that like, it's the fancy autocorrect. And Google essentially trained an LLM, like just like a blank one, on weather data over the past like 100 years. Mm-hmm. And what they managed to create was something that could accurately forecast like better than traditional models, right? So like, AI that like does very specific tasks, especially like in terms of like scientific research where it's taking data that already exists and just like predicting, mm-hmm. that's like, it's really useful for that. And it does that really well. But then all this stuff where it's like, oh, you can use AI to make a song. And I'm like I'm just scrolling through the Suno website and it's like, Suno is where music creation has no boundaries. Use just a few words to conjure your next track. I'm like, that's not your next track. Like imagine yeah. that pedestrian where you work and want to Walkley. If someone, like the people who gave you a brief for, I don't know how journalism works, but like someone tells you write about this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that or person like, is not yeah. writing it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get the Walkley for saying go write about this.
No, totally.
You get the Walkley for doing the writing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone's like, well, I prompted it. And I'm like, okay, and?
Yeah, no, it's very confusing. I guess like this is like not siloed to just like music, right? Yeah. I think it's the larger attitude towards AI being like, it's going to take over anyway, so we need to like be able to, you know, integrate it into our lives. And I think that's like such, it's taking like the autonomy like out of that, you know? Yeah. Is that the right word?
Did you watch Hacks?
No, I haven't, but I need to.
Oh, there's a really good anti-AI episode.
I've heard good things about it. Yeah. But I think it's like, it takes like your choice out of it and it kind of absolves you of the guilt that you are contributing to this, yeah. you know, deterioration of creativity and of intelligence and knowledge at all. But it's like an active choice that you're making to engage with this.
Well, there's
you know?
A lot of people, like, there's a lot of stupid people out there who don't know that you can just write a song or just yeah. write a poem or yeah. just do the thing.
Which is why I'm surprised at like artists who are successful at doing that without AI are yeah. like pro AI. You know what I mean? Or at least like...
I mean, I don't know Diplo and his story. Like I know of yeah. Diplo. But like I wonder also if there's something of like to be an artist of that caliber, you align yourself with certain material interests and it's well, like, yeah, you're going to
yeah.
have the...
yeah.
the white bread take on AI.
No, totally. You know? Totally. Yeah, but SZA has continued to be quite vocal about it. It's not the first time she's been vocal. SZA. And yeah, that's kind of the tea on that. What's happening elsewhere in culture?
Well, you know Tasmania.
Yes, I've heard of her.
So did you know Australia's largest privately
Speak
owned
on it.
Museum?
Hey, anything can be made up now, so
literally.
Yeah.
my favorite AI was Shakespeare.
Stop, because they're going to make a fucking AI called Shakespeare and it'll be like, write a play in like 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
That's my whole thing with Claude. Like, why do they keep, like, all their different models are named after, like, opus, haiku, mythos, fable.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I mean?
True.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, like, really look into them.
So, I mean, you got to follow the AI company.
I don't want to. You can't make me.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so Australia's largest privately owned museum is Mona in Tasmania in Hobart. And they just had Dark Mofo, which is, like, the big festival. That
Zac Efron was there.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like big tea that he's back in Australia.
Ripped to his jaw.
That's, oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I do.
Yeah, and ripped to his jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, and ripped to his jaw.
Allegedly. Anywho, yeah, so massive museum. But one of the big things that happened during Dark Mofo, one of the big events, was that Mona opened, the museum, opened a new library. Like,
cool.
A whole new extension.
And what is Mona for the people?
Mona is the Museum of Old and New Art. It's a giant, it's Australia's largest privately owned museum, and it's literally just like this billionaire, I don't know, David Walsh is his name. That is his name. Just had to fact check it. And it's just like a collection of weird art that he likes all together.
Okay.
And like one of the, I haven't been, but I really want to go. It's a really interesting museum because it's not like, you know how you go to like the NGV and it's like, here's the Impressionists and here's the Block.
Yeah.
It's, and like there's a, like sort of an approach to creation that is very like, things are separate and things are like divided. Mm-hmm. Mona sort of like takes a, I'm going to use this word very cautiously because of the context. I'm applying it to a rich person, but they curate very anarchically. And it's like, there'll be things that don't belong together necessarily next to each other to kind of like make you think things, you know?
Okay, love that.
And it's like, it's not divided into, these are the Impressionists.
So
it's
wasn't open already? Or like?
So Mona was already open. Mona's been open for like 15 years.
Totally. We've talked about it on this podcast before.
We have, because they did the Ladies' Lounge.
Yes.
Yeah. So they opened a new library, and this is the books, like so many thousand books from David Walsh's personal collection. And it's like a massive new extension that's taken like 5 years to build. And I'm just like, I want to go. It sounds so cool.
I love
and
that that's
so
the take.
Fun. I'm just like, what the heck?
You're like, you guys.
Like, okay, so like here's some things in it. There's like a contemporary artwork where you walk in and there's like some, I don't know, science machine that like is synthesizing new oxygen molecules, molecules from like iron oxide from the Pilbara, right? So that it's like creating oxygen that nobody's ever breathed before. And you just get to walk in and breathe that oxygen. And it's like a commentary on like, I don't know, time and stuff. How cool.
That is very
cool. Do you know what I mean? It's got one of Shakespeare's first folios. There's like 250 of them in the world.
Hey.
Yeah, like how
That's
crazy
your guy.
Is that? Yeah, how?
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite AI.
Yeah.
What else do they have? Like all this like fucking wild bonkers art. One of the things that I find really interesting about it is like, you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes.
Which is like the bullshit numbers and whatever. And like this categorizing thing. This entire library has no sections. And so you can walk in and you're encouraged to like sit and read books and you can take them off the shelves and put them back wherever you want.
Yeah.
And there's like this system of like cameras that like identify where books have been taken and put back. So like you can still find any book, but you can put it wherever you want. And it's sort of like this invitation to the public to like sort of think about how they want to curate knowledge and how we like link together knowledge.
Wow.
Which is so fascinating.
That's awesome. What are your thoughts on privately owned museums in general?
Yeah. I think it is difficult to say I'm against it given the state of public funding in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, absolutely. That's a really good answer.
Like, in an ideal world, I mean, like, look, let anyone have a privately owned museum.
Yeah.
What does it say that in Australia, one of our best museums is privately owned? That's interesting. That says a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But it just sounds absolutely bonkers. This is like giant underground library.
Wow,
you know?
Broadly relevant.
There's like
trip?
A giant wheel that just has books on it, and like the book, like it spins.
That's
it looks
so
crazy.
That one scene in Wicked.
Yeah, literally that. Yeah. Except the books are facing outside, so they like flip.
Oh yeah, yeah. Love that.
Have you seen it on TikTok?
No, I haven't, but I'm excited.
It looks really cunt. Broadly news.
Do you want me to? Okay, housing. Are you gonna get a house?
Like when?
Oh. I feel like I just sounded like my own father. So today, Triple J hack reporter Evelyn Manfield asked our Prime Minister Anthony Albanese about the medium price of a unit in the Sydney suburb of Marrickville, which is Albo's electorate. And the median price is $980,000, so close to $1 million. And she asked if he thinks that it was affordable. And it was she handled herself really well because he kind of like ran around the question. And so she asked, like, do you know the median price? And do you know how much it's like grown over? And so he says, what I know is that prices in Marrickville substantially and right throughout my area and right throughout the country that has occurred. Is that like, basically he was like, they've gone up. And he was like, I was talking to someone last weekend who was able to be successful at an auction that they previously almost given up on. And that's a fantastic thing. And he was like, he's like bringing in reforms about like at, you know, aimed at, you know, making things more affordable. The reporter says, like, do you know how much they pay? And then he was like, that's not for me to disclose. And then and then she's like, it's nearly $1 million. Like, that's what the median price is. And then he, like, tries to move on. And she's like, it's $1 million. Like, do you think that's affordable for a young person to be able to buy a unit in Marrickville? And then he says, well, it depends on what their income is. It depends on all of their status, which is there. So people, you know, we want to give people young people a fair crack at owning their own home, which...
Okay, then do it, girl.
Okay, then do it, girl. Like,
like, I don't know. Build more homes.
Yeah, exactly. And the average income in Marrickville is...
I love you typing the search for that while you said it.
I liked it. You didn't like it? This is according to inthesuburbs.com.au. So I don't know if this is like... This is what I'm like... It's the 2021 census income breakdown, okay? The... personal average medium income in Marrickville is $56,000 a year. And per household, it's $112,840. I'm going to go out there and say that that is, in fact, not enough money to, like, for an average person. That's, like, a medium income level well.
No, but it, like, really depends on, like, their status, sort of, like, you know, their context.
I just feel like sometimes they think that we're, like, dumb in, like, well, or maybe they're dumb. I don't know.
Well, can I posit that, like, often they're right because the media doesn't actually hold them to account, and also the media dumbs down the populace, and, like, the lack of education means that we are, broadly, as a population, dumb.
Hey, you know? That's real good. That's real good. Oh, I had a thought, but
Were you going to say, like, can you say that again with more nuance and don't use the word dumb?
No, I don't think that's... well, yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, fair criticism.
One thing I saw in the comments of this video, which we'll also link down below, it's really great reporting, and a great question to ask, was that, oh, like, please don't, like, badmouth Labour right now with the rise of One Nation.
Oh, my God.
Which I found... really interesting and really frustrating because I think a couple of years ago, like, I would have thought the same thing. I feel like my parents definitely, like, feel the same way, especially I think, like, you know, like, we have it, like, good enough, like, you could be so much worse, like, we see things, like, are so much worse, like, you know, Pauline Hanson is, like, consistently every day telling us that we're, like,
oh, yeah,
you know, just painting a really fucked future for us. Yeah. But I think, yeah, it's a real issue when we're, like, putting up with mediocre-ness from our politicians. Mediocrity, some might say. Mm. Yeah.
Some might. Mediocre-ness.
I thought we were making... Remember when you said, what was the other thing? Largely? Yeah. Bring it back. Call back.
No,
okay.
Totally.
But yeah, I think it's really frightening if we're going to allow mediocrity because we're, like, living in fear of something potentially worse. What do you think about that? You know? On a surface level, I don't not agree with it, which is, like, a bad... It's, like, I don't like that I'm thinking this.
Think what?
Thinking that, like, I see the point that they're making. I know it's not correct.
Hang on. So I wasn't listening to you just then.
I knew it!
I was, in fact, trying to get some statistics to source, and I've missed the central point.
I keep this in.
So,
that's
what
okay.
were you saying?
I do that to you a lot. No, And it is a podcast between us two.
And like, I was just nodding along. Like,
because you had such a large reaction, but it was...
No clue. What were you saying?
Okay, write it back. And these are the people who also like disassociated and like tapped out of what the fuck we were saying. Yeah, I see you. Drop your listening during the news section. Okay, yeah. Okay, so I was talking about the fact that, you know, someone commented being like, we shouldn't be ridiculing Labour when One Nation is on the rise. Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And I'm saying, like, it's a bad thing that we aren't able to criticise mediocrity, or, like, we take mediocrity...
As good enough.
Yeah. And, like, out of fear. But then a big part of me also kind of understands, like, where this, like, rhetoric is coming from.
Oh, sure.
But I don't like that I'm feeling that way. And I need you to explain it to me why I should feel that way.
It's because there's a sense that people feel like, I think politics has so often in this country not actually afforded people with genuine belief that the world is going to get better.
Yeah.
And so, like, any sense that I think people believe that at least with Labour, things won't get substantially worse.
Yeah.
And so, like, of course, like, if you're terrified of what could be worse, like, you're going to hold on to that and say, like, guys, if we destroy Labour, you know, what happens?
Yeah.
Which is fair, but I also think, you know, who benefits from the status quo?
Totally.
Yeah.
And certainly not you and I trying to buy in Marrickville.
No. Yeah. What are the statistics I was trying to find?
Yeah, let's go on.
While I was not listening to you.
Yeah.
Was, did you know 44% of the Australian population reads at like a year 7 or below level?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
I remember that coming up when that footballer, Luke something, he's like now like a book talker.
Oh, yeah. The one with muscles.
Yeah. What's his name? Let me look up. Luke Bateman.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a BookTok influencer now. And he once said, he was like, you know, like everyone can read, or like something like to the effect of that. And I think it's like...
I think they said that in Ratatouille.
Really? Is that a hee hee ha ha? And I missed the hee hee ha ha.
You know what?
No, dial it back. I want to know. No, I want to know now.
So you know how Ratatouille is about that chef?
Yes.
Well, it's about the rat who like works at the restaurant owned by the chef, Gusteau.
Yeah.
One of Gusteau's famous phrases was like, anyone can cook. And right. Like the whole play, there's the critic in the movie.
In the musical that never happened? Yeah.
The critic is like, this stupid phrase, anyone can cook, not anyone can cook. And then at the end, he like really enjoys a meal that Remy cooks, the rat. And he's like, and I realize finally now what Gusteau meant. Not that anyone can cook, but a great cook can come from anywhere.
Oh, okay. Totally. Yeah. Anyways, people should read more, and we should allow them to, and also support them too.
I think it was the great drag queen RuPaul who said reading is fundamental.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your news? Okay.
So you know Zelly Stegall?
Yes, I
heard like
her.
Who's like a teal, and I will get hate comments from an ardent listener for referring to Zelly Stegall as a teal.
Oh, yeah, totally. I remember this.
What?
This is why it's, like, harmful to, like,
yeah,
group
so,
them as
so
teals.
So you're not meant to call them teals because they're independents, right?
Yes, yeah.
Which is, like, totally valid and, like, so 100% fair.
I need you to explain to the listeners who might not know what
oh
a teal
God.
Is.
You're so good at this.
Hey.
Are you a journalist?
It's almost like I'm listening to you while you speak.
So a teal, okay, so, like, we have a government with, like, representatives or something.
Yeah.
And, like, they some of them are, like, in parties and some of them aren't, right? So you got Labour people and not Labour people. And some people who aren't in a party are independent, but there's a lot of independents who have a similar vibe and use teal in their marketing.
Period. Like teal the color.
Like teal the color.
Yeah.
And so Zelly Stegall, who is a Sydney-based teal, this is the gossip, the gag, the rumor, is that this week, so maybe now by the time this podcast gets out, who knows, she's launching a party for the teals. And that's like... crazy.
Yes.
Because the whole thing is like, historically the whole thing behind like the rise of independence is like, we actually need independents who can like advocate for like their local electorate in parliament, right? Rather than like Labour, where like you get your like local representative in and they're not going to do anything for your local electorate because they're just going to do what the head of Labour decides, you know? But we talked about this like 2 years ago on the podcast. Labour changed the laws around election funding such that you're limited in the amount you can spend on election ads within certain electorates or within a given electorate, there's a limit on the amount of money you can spend advertising a specific candidate, right? Which for Labour and for the Liberals and for One Nation isn't that much of an issue, because you can just spam ads for One Nation or Labour mm-hmm. without saying a candidate's name, right? But for independents, where they don't have a party to back them or a brand to back them, there's a limit to the amount of money that they can actually advertise. So it disenfranchises independents. And it's yeah. like, well, why the fuck did you put that in, Labour? You know, and it's like, well, because they suck. And so allegedly, Zelie Stegall is doing this, and she's got like a couple people who are like, I'm going to join. Doing this to get around that funding legislation, so that then if they're like as a party, they can actually like advertise for the party and cut through and like hopefully like compete against the other parties. But then it's also like, okay, so like what's the point of an independent, you know?
Yeah. The Teals itself have been like very mixed on their reactions of it all. So obviously like Zelie Stegall was like, yes, maybe Boots Mama.
And Monique Ryan, who's like, I love her because she got, what's that fuckwit's name? Josh Frydenberg. So Monique Ryan, who ousted Josh Frydenberg in the seat of Kooyong, staunchly against the idea of a party. She's like, I'm an independent and I'm going to stay being independent. And I'm like, you know what? Respect.
Kate Chaney has like been the same. She was like, I'm interested in working more collaboratively with fellow crossbenchers. But she was like, I don't think this requires me to be a political party. Randomly, Malcolm Turnbull was like, yeah, Slay, like you should do that.
it's difficult because it's like within the specific context of like the advertising laws, I'm like, I can see a very valid reason for doing it, but it's also like, I just wish Labour wasn't undermining our democracy, but like whatever, you know.
No, totally.
Yeah.
Where do you think that like what it will sort of become is like another Greens party? Like that's like the energy that it's giving me.
Well,
is that a correct read or is it just like...
I think that's probably an incorrect read.
Yeah, okay. Drag me.
I mean, like, maybe they'll like operate independently as a party, you know, like a union. I don't know. Who's to say, you know, until it happens.
I guess we'll find out.
It's like major T. I don't know. Who knows?
Hey, stay tuned. Watch the space. We'll be back to let you know
how
it goes. Maybe it's all a lie. Maybe it's like all these rumors are like, you know, not true.
Hasn't it been crazy watching the Liberals just fall apart over the past year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's because the thing, like between the Teals and the One Nation, they've eaten the Liberals up for lunch.
Period. Broadly recommended. I like that we still question it every time.
Well, because we never know.
We actually never know like what we're doing until at the end moment. Of this until the moment. Just whatever feels right in our heart.
Yeah.
And the discussion that we had beforehand.
Yeah.
So, broadly recommended. Y'all know the drill by now because you guys have been such loyal listeners. I know it. Okay. We look at recommending one thing you read, one thing you need to listen to, and one thing you need to watch.
Yeah.
In the month of June. It's Cancer season. We're both Cancers.
Yeah.
So true. Listen to us. I don't know. Like, we know what we're talking about. We cry a lot sometimes.
Told me
you
about
don't.
Your birthday, right?
As in, I have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a birthday.
It's in my calendar, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember you texting me something.
Yes, and you also put your birthday in my calendar, but I'm not coming.
Yeah, that's okay. I forgive you.
But thanks. Okay, so no need to start the rumors of a feud between broadly relevant hosts, okay? We're okay.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so let's start recommending things.
Okay.
Okay, let's do broadly listening.
Okay.
You do have an answer, right? I recommend people listen to the music made by Suno. It's this great AI app.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
No, I actually want to recommend specifically an album that came out in 2023 called My Back Was a Bridge for You to Cross by an artist called Anani.
Yeah.
And a band called Anani and the Johnsons.
Awesome.
And Anani's like one of my favorite like ever musicians.
Yeah.
And this is just like, I don't know genre, how the genre works in music, but like it's slow and kind of jazzy, you know? And it's really mournful and sad about the world, but kind of optimistic and hopeful too. And I love it.
Okay, love
that. It's so good, Simran.
I'm going to recommend you listen to this specific playlist that a friend of mine made on Spotify. It's called like with a lowercase y and then two uppercase U and H.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I'll give you a little taste. This is on when I'm doing my work, okay? Yeah. When I'm like locking in.
Yeah.
So obviously, Work Bitch, that's on there.
Also, like, isn't by Britney?
Yeah. Also, Losing It by Fisher. also on my work playlist.
What song is that?
I'm losing it. That's like So Gold Coast Carded. Yeah, come on.
That is So Gold Coast Carded.
Come on. Break My Soul by Beyonce. Okay. Come on. Come on. Oh, there is a Nicki Minaj song here. Skip that. You know what? Skip the problematic ones. It's also up to you. You know what I mean? Like, take some responsibility for the things that you listen to.
I do listen to Roman Holiday quite a lot.
Who is that by Nicki?
Yeah, that was like her 2010 or 2011 album.
I don't know. I don't align with her and I've taken her out of my brain. Also, Padam Padam. I just feel like it's not like your average work playlist. But my recommendation is to listen to this playlist specifically when you're working.
Tea.
Yeah.
On the topic of people who are cancelled.
Yeah.
You know Sia?
Yeah.
Obviously cancelled because she was like really problematic about autism.
Yes.
2 years after she was cancelled for that, she actually came out as having autism.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's tea.
That's interesting. And let's speak on that.
Yeah, I think there's something really interesting in there because I'm like...
Is that our next deep?
I don't know what we have to say about it, but I'm just like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a crazy segue in my brain. Please. And like, don't cancel me for it. But it kind of like reminds me of like Lizzo a little bit about the way. It's not the same thing. It's not
go on.
Okay. Hey, stop thinking it's the same thing because it's not. All right.
Sure,
don't go there. But like her, obviously, the controversy around her like losing weight, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It gives me like the same energy as that. Or like.
I'm holding space for your opinions.
Or, you know what? This is actually a crazy opinion. But like. I think like somebody accused them, like her, of like fat shaming them.
Lizzo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the whole cancellation.
Oh, that was the whole cancellation.
There was like the court trial over the dancer.
So like, I don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, those are all my thoughts. They're wrong. Don't listen to these ones.
Yeah.
I've canceled myself now.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing with like the Lizzo cancellation is I'm like, I love a good cancellation, but it's also like, why do we only, like when we cancel people, why do we only effectively cancel people of color? You know what I mean?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And speak on that, yeah. Babe. Hey.
Well.
Is that my ally I see?
Was I woke just then?
Hey.
Was I woke?
I am in Melbourne now. Oh my God. This is side noted, but we're keeping it in.
Yeah.
In Sydney, I was in Sydney this past week. And on the bus, I listened to these two boys go on and on and on about how they like love the Manosphere, essentially. And they go to these
in real
week-
life. Or
in
like in
real
a podcast?
Life.
Oh.
They were sitting behind. It was basically a podcast. The whole damn bus had to listen to it. Like, we called them out on it. And they were like, it's a public bus. And I was like, why am I in your conversation, though? I don't understand.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's out there, guys. It's not just in basements where it should be.
Well, and I point you to 44% of the population reads at grade 7 or below.
Well, yes. Hey, that's it. Hey. And searching up that stat was worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, totally.
And actually, on the topic of reading.
Stats? Oh, reading. Yes.
What's your reading recommendation?
Why do you go first?
I actually wanted to do reading last. Can we do reading last?
Okay.
What do you recommend people watch?
I'm going to be basic about this, but this is what I want to recommend people watch. It's the new Mindy Kaling show, Not Suitable for Work.
Okay.
And I know she's a problematic diva.
Hasn't it been like middled?
What is middled?
Like, I just made that up. Isn't it middling?
I also don't know what that means.
Isn't it like average?
Okay. Yeah, that's my issue. I don't think it's average. I think it's quite funny. I think it needs time to like cook a little bit. I think the next season will like be amazing. But I was there from the start. Okay. Do I think and that not enough people are calling out the fatphobic jokes that are within like the show? Yeah, I do. I think I'm really surprised.
Interesting.
I was actually lucky enough to watch it before it came out.
Wow.
And I don't understand why people aren't calling that out. Here I am doing it on the record.
Well, on the topic of people not calling things out, you know, I saw a play and it was cultural appropriation and all the white people are like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it just is cultural appropriation.
So that's not your recommended then?
No, not that one.
What is it?
But my recommended watch is Shadow, which actually, interestingly enough, is a film by the people who made that play. And it's a film adaptation of my favorite play from theirs. And it is a phenomenal play and a really good movie. It's like an hour, 59 minutes.
What's
59
it about?
Minutes on Netflix. It's like about a bunch of, it's like about a disability advocacy conference and there's AI. It's kind of art house.
Interesting.
I don't know how to explain it.
And it's on Netflix.
Because what it is a play that's just been like reframed into a movie. So it makes sense in my head.
Totally. Like,
It's a play. I don't know. I think as a movie, I'd be confused as like what it was.
Hey, and report back. Yeah. Report back.
But it's
and
a phenom.
See if you align with Ryan.
Because it's a commentary, right? Like on like, this was made pre like LLMs, but it's a commentary on the way that like as AIs get better and smarter than us, it'll almost make us all intellectually disabled.
Mm.
The artists themselves being intellectually disabled. And so like, it's a really interesting comment on AI.
That is really interesting. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Watching, adding to the list.
That like, it's a phenomenal film.
Hey.
Well, it's a phenomenal play. And I think it's a good film. I don't watch enough film to say film is good.
Totally. I love you saying film.
What else would I call it?
I don't know.
A movie?
A movie? What's the difference?
And
anyways.
What would you recommend to read?
Okay, this is what I recommend you reading. It's an expose on Alex Cooper's unwell media empire. It's called Daddy Issues, Trouble Behind the Scenes of Alex Cooper's Unwell Media Empire. It's on Vanity Fair, and it's by Clara Mollott. And it was a really interesting read, I think, because it obviously goes into, like, the Call Her Daddy, like, media empire. Sure, yeah. And I think for, like, myself, I've really followed their journey, like, from the start of, like, the podcast. What?
Who's the diva from Cheek Media who's running for...
Hannah Ferguson.
How crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Totally. Anyways.
On the topic of media.
Totally, totally. I was like, how? Okay. But yeah, it's a really interesting piece because it also talks about like her husband who is involved in like the production company. And Clara did a lot of digging into this, and it was a very like highly anticipated article, especially yep. because like Alex has so much controversy surrounding her.
Sure.
One of like the standout quotes, it's like the first quote she's like puts in is like, "We do not stand for mean girls at this company." And I recommend you reading this article and then going to the Good Noticings podcast and listening to their analysis about it, because it's impeccable. It's really, really good, because the article itself kind of, you want to root for the writer, but then you kind of like get these like moments where you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm like feeling like anti-feminist like by reading this, and like am I a mean girl by reading this or aligning with you know, like anti-Alex Cooper? Or
sometimes the wokest thing you can do is hate someone.
Wow, put that on a shirt. And speak on that, you know, but it's like, who am I hating here? Yeah. I guess, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily agree with you on that, because honestly, that like, I'm already like so many gymnastics in my brain. I'm like, well, you know, like you can't hate someone all the time, and it's like important to have conversation, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I thought it was a really interesting read, and she got a lot of flack from it, specifically from the Unwell Network's like lawyers, who honestly, like, they sent like a cease and desist to like Clara. Brian Friedman, who represented Justin Baldoni. Yeah, he also has the perfect name for a lawyer. Friedman.
Do you remember Desi Friedman?
No.
What do you mean?
Do I?
He was the guy who like shot up some cops in the one on the run.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I was just like, I wasn't sure if we were thinking the same person. But anyways, crazy, because again, definitely wrote about him a lot. But I just was like, I just don't think this is who you're talking about. But yes. Anyways. Yeah, sent a cease and desist to Clara, and at the end of it was like, if this isn't true, like, you know, like, count your days, Vanity Fair. Or like, I was basically like alluding to, it was a threat to Vanity Fair, essentially, allegedly. But no, it was a really great piece of journalism. It's sat with me. So yeah.
Which, and that really inspires me to suggest what I'm gonna recommend to people
on.
Read.
Yes.
I think people should read the news.
Hey.
I think it is so important to read the news.
Thank you,
know. You need put to me understand in work. The world. Yes. Even, you know?
Yes, and I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that hard. You know, this is
can I name some specific news?
Yeah, please.
Deep Cut News.
Yeah, they're great.
Lamestream.
Yes. Go on.
Is it Nick Fake? He has a great Substack. Crikey.
Yes.
Z Feed.
Yes.
Missing Perspectives.
Yes. Sometimes Pedestrian TV.
Occasionally.
Okay. You know what's so funny with everything that's like gone down over like the past couple of weeks?
I think you're not allowed to.
Which I'm not really allowed to talk about. But like everything that's gone down in the last few weeks, I'm like conscious of like everything that I'm saying publicly.
Yeah.
Because it was like the Daily Mail is like on it. And I'm like, and cut all of this out. But like, I actually am stressed about it now. But I was like, thinking, I was like, all my opinions. I was like, oh my God, now they're going to be like in Daily Mail, like pedestrian riot, blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
Well, sometimes controversy is what we need for success.
You're so right. So should I keep it in?
Well, and I'm just curious, like, how can we generate controversy? Like, do we need to say something like unwoke or maybe like so woke it pisses off the woke people, you know?
Oh, the woke people. Maybe the your hate thing. Like, who can we hate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interested to see what you keep.
Yeah. Should we check out?
Let's.
So, what's next now that you've won a Walkley Award?
Oh, obviously, I'm going to go to Obsessed Fest in Los Angeles.
Who's flying you to Los Angeles?
I don't want to tell you.
Wait, is it work?
It's work.
Okay. Obsessed
Fest is like this book talk thing. It's like all like the book adaptations and romance YA things that are happening in Prime Video.
Oh, my God.
Cut this out. Got like, all of it out, actually.
I'm so glad you're getting a trip to the U.S.
Okay, and let's try this check out again. Sorry?
Are you going to be safe at the border?
I don't know. I'm quite nervous about it.
Okay. Because you haven't been to the U.S. since high school.
Yeah.
Okay, well, chuckers. Should we check out?
Let's.
What are you doing next now that you've won a Walkley Award? A mini Walkley Award.
Speaking of Diplo, obviously.
I think that's why they're applying.
Yeah, totally. Must be. That's about it. Oh, I'm trying to knit again. Oh. So I'm real excited for that. Maybe calm down my nervous system, you know? That's the dream. What about you? Yes. What about you? What are you doing since I won the Walkley Award?
Tell everyone.
And spread the word. We haven't talked about
Simran's
it enough.
Won a Walkley.
Period. Yeah. Period. Yeah. Broadly relevant, essentially, has.
Well, and I've changed the Linktree bio to say that we are eclectic culture coverage by a Walkley Award winner and a Melbourne Fringe Award winner.
Wow! Wank Central. If you like this podcast, tell a friend. Subscribe to our Instagram and our TikTok. And listen again next week. Love you so much. Bye.